Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. This is Black History Month. This is Black History Month, and we want to be able to remember those that have gone before us and our fellow citizens, African-American citizens that served us in a lot of different capacities in the military and just did some awesome things in our history, that they, those in the past edited that out, edited them out of history. Mm. And what's so exciting is to see how God is correcting history. He is correcting history. And in that, we're starting to see how, how we all work together. This, the enemy denied everybody's part that was played. As a matter of fact, listen up right now. And you know, it's 150-year anniversary since the Emancipation Proclamation has been signed by President Abraham Lincoln, and this year. And we're able to look back and begin to see. But I want you to hear about some doctors, some African-American doctors in the Civil War and their journey, and they stayed steadfast. Listen up.
Well, this year marks the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery had divided America, but few people knew how many black men who had been set free who joined the Union Army, including several African-American doctors. Charlotte Israel has a story that maybe few of us have ever heard.
Two subjects fascinate retired physician Dr. Robert Slauson: history and medicine. Medical history is a particular interest, especially contributions by African Americans. In his research, Slauson found that a handful of black men served as doctors in the Civil War, something he writes about in his book, Prologue to Change: African Americans in Medicine in the Civil War Era. When President Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves in 1863, nearly 200,000 blacks joined the Union Army.
Of the physicians we've identified as serving with the Army, three of them were commissioned officers. The other nine were contract surgeons. The things they were doing as doctors, mostly it was taking care of disease anyhow. You know, they would do examinations, they would take care of the people with the sick, give medicines.
Dr. Alexander T. Augusta was a veteran of the American Civil War and the first commissioned black officer in the U.S. Army. He's also the first black officer to be buried here in Arlington National Cemetery. Born to free parents in Norfolk, Virginia, Alexander Augusta learned to read, even though it was illegal and dangerous. His dream of becoming a doctor in the 1800s seemed almost impossible, and the University of Pennsylvania denied his application to medical school. Augusta would not give up and traveled to Canada, enrolling at Toronto's Trinity College, where in 6 years, he received a degree in medicine.
It's hard for me to even imagine the challenges that they had faced, because it had to be magnitudes harder than what those of us who are black doctors now went through.
Dr. Michelle Gourdine is a physician, author, and expert in preventative health and wellness. She says the hardships faced by black medical professionals before her serve a great encouragement and example to her and other blacks.
On top of it being a very difficult and challenging subject matter to have to understand, but to do that in an atmosphere where you were considered less than, where you were considered to be second rate or second tier, where you did not have all of the resources that you need in order to succeed, and then to be able to achieve anyway.
In 1862, after returning to the U.S., Augusta wrote a direct appeal to President Lincoln, offering his services as a surgeon in the Army. After many roadblocks, he earned a commission in the Union Army. Time in the Army was difficult, both on and off the battlefield. Most black surgeons in the war worked in military hospitals or recruiting stations because many white surgeons refused to serve alongside or under their command on the battlefield.
He had two assistant surgeons in the regiment with him, and they were white, and they rebelled. obviously. The senior assistant surgeon said, you know, it's not right. There are no other white man working for a black man, and I shouldn't have to do it either.
Dr. John Van Surley de Grasse of Massachusetts was one exception. He and other black doctors in the Civil War were of mixed race and could easily pass as white. After volunteering in May 1863, de Grasse received a commission as assistant surgeon with the 35th United States Colored Infantry, one of only three African-American physicians to do so. He was the only black surgeon to serve in the field with his South Carolina regiment, and one of only eight to serve in the Union Medical Corps. Unfortunately, little is written in the history books about these African-American physicians and their service to our country.
The powers that be decided that the acceptable physicians were white men. So a lot of the information on a lot of these people, the African-Americans, as well as the women, early women physicians, is just, people chose not to record it.
After the war, Dr. Alexander Augusta went on to serve on the staff at Howard University. As for Dr. de Grasse, he was presented with a ceremonial surgeon's sword in appreciation for his service. Slauson is doing what he can to tell the stories of these physicians, each of whom deserves a place in history as forerunners of the modern world.
I thought they were heroes. These were people who knew what they wanted and they went after it, and they wanted to serve in the best way that they could. And they were trained as physicians, and that was the best service they could give. And I don't see a difference.
Charlene Israel, CBN News, Columbia, Maryland.
That's so exciting to go back and see history being rediscovered. Mm-hmm. Rediscovered for so long, universities taught history, and then they had a whole nother part of history called Black history, American Black history. And now we're starting to look where history's coming together. Our good, our bad, everything that we've done, just kind of being able to tell our story. There's so many things that are happening right now that seems like, man, this is just so good that these things are happening. But at the same time, other things that are happening is like, oh, this is so bad. And it's like, you know, why would you think? Anyway, so we just want to celebrate, you know, Black History Month and be a part of that. Is we were talking about the movie that was done by one of the television networks for Coretta King, Dr. King's wife, and Malcolm X's wife was a pretty good one that kind of looked about, you know, their perspective, a wife's perspective, and it was really powerful to watch how Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s wife, her perspective about God and her perspective about her husband and her understanding of the times and how important it was to keep a united front and stay focused on what matters most. Mm-hmm. And obviously her husband was able to do that, but she was able to do it too, because obviously her husband was murdered. And so, but she kept the focus and she kept the focus. And it was just very, and it was focused on God and, mm-hmm. and freedom and rights for everyone. And it was just amazing. This is definitely a month we need to really just soak in our history. And then after we learn our history is to tell others about our history, to let them know the contribution of all Americans, including the African-American contribution that was actually written out of our history books. One of those doctors I think about today is Dr. Carlson, who actually served on the Regent University for quite some time, but he was at a prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. And when he spoke, he prayed about what he should speak about, and obviously he heard clearly because mm-hmm. he wanted to know what would be the pertinent topic of the day, and mm-hmm. the whole United States is talking about it. His book, America the Beautiful, I believe it's called, it's gone to the top number one seller, at least the top three last I heard, but I think it's top one now on Amazon, mm-hmm. That was kind of low in the rating prior to him actually speaking. But now people are asking. New York Times asked him to run for president. The New York Times asked him to run for president. And
really?
And he says very specifically about that is that I'll just pray about it. Leave it up to God. It's not in my plans, but, you know, God has different plans for that. I'm open to whatever he wants to do because he's about retiring from Johns Hopkins, where he's been a doctor there. Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie about his life called Gifted Hands. It's really, really good. And Cuba Gooding Jr., I believe, was his actor that portrayed him. But it's an amazing life story.
Can you put that on the torch, you know, so people can... I think what he stands for is an important lesson for the church right now. And remember this, that when God begins to do something and the adversary gets hint of it, he sends in the counterfeit first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you get a chance to go after the concept, or you get a chance to go after God in the concept.
Mm-hmm.
And the counterfeit's always the concept. We've always been wanting to do this. This is what we needed to do. And people go after that. But then when the true move of God shows up, it has some of the same attributes, but it's totally different. This is God. And one thing that was said, prophesied by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, was that there would be a large revival, a big, big move of God, possibly Third Great Awakening, how he described it, in America, and it'd be led by the African American people. And when you listen to Dr. Carlson talk and his just normalness,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, normalness and looking at reality and wisdom, and you just think, wow, would that not be a cool thing? That'd be really cool.
Yeah,
but he actually grew up with a mother who couldn't read, and his mother told him to read three books a day or a week or something, and give her a report on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did that, he had no idea how long his mother couldn't read. And of course, she was reading, I guess, the books through his reports. And that just opened up a whole thing for him to be able to do that. And today, yeah, he's a doctor, John Hopkins. He served on the Board of Regency University for quite some time. And it's possibly going to be running for president of the United States. It looks like they're definitely getting him ready for that. And he is resigning from Johns Hopkins, so everything's kind of getting lined up.
Interesting.
Like, wouldn't that be just wonderful if it was just the next president of the United States was just a man of God, and a wise man of God.
Yeah.
Who was authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, spoke a balanced reality. And, had no agenda other than, you know, what's right before God and man, you know. Mm-hmm. And it would just be beautiful.
Mm.
You know, and it very well. Let it happen, God.
Right. Your will be done.
Lines our values up. So you can find out more about that on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.